This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm like Pavlov's dog. The second I hear any of the music from NFL films, I'm instantly in go mode. Turbo mode, as I call it, for the Kansas City Chiefs. Man, when they hit turbo, that's it. They're gone. They gone. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning to you. It's just another manic Monday. I wish it was Sunday. No, actually, I don't wish it was Sunday. I cannot take another triple header like that one right on the heels of what we just saw yesterday. It was pretty intense. It was pretty insane. Typical of the NFL. Always with the drama. Always with the drama, NFL. I hope you enjoyed Sunday. I hope you enjoyed Saturday, too, and not just for the football. I know a lot of people are dealing with a winter storm and dealing with some crazy weather, and there are hundreds of thousands of people who are without power, not just because of the snow and the ice and some of the tornadoes that were spawned by this storm that's kind of working its way up the eastern seaboard on into New England and Canada now, but also snow and then heavy rains. I know that I dealt with, get this, in the span of 26 miles, snow, sleet, pouring rain, and flooded roads, all in 26 miles on my commute into work. So I got a taste of everything, and I want you to be safe this morning if you're out on the roads, if you have to be commuting or traveling. We're happy to keep you company, but please be careful. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. We're asking you, what is the wildest thing you saw wild card weekend in the NFL? On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And yes, producer James did just share my sexy dog walking look, only when it's 3 degrees. So this is the look that I use when it is single digits or the wind chills are below zero. It's a special look. Super sexy. Check it out. On Facebook. It's also up on Twitter. It's been up on Twitter all day. You've been laughing at it all day. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. This hour, Ben Roethlisberger's final words post-game. What about Mike McCarthy's job status? The question was posed to Jerry Jones and to Coach McCarthy. Is there a change in the wind? And players stumping for Rich Bisaccia to keep the job as the head coach for the Raiders. All of that is ahead in 15 minutes. But we're going to get to some of the Sunday drama right now. After Hours, CBS Sports Radio, live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Wait, did I just say this? Oh, I don't need to say it again. This is it. This is what's happening. I want to make sure I get to everything. So let's go. No more stalling. No more reading promos over and over again. Into the second quarter of Sunday Night Football, would you believe that it was scoreless until the Pittsburgh Steelers took the lead in Kansas City at Arrowhead Stadium?
First and 10, Chiefs 31, shotgun snap, and it's a quick handoff and bobbled by Williams. It's loose and picked up by Watt, 20. Broke a tackle down the middle, 15. Broke another tackle, 10, 5, touchdown! Pittsburgh has gotten the fumble recovery, and T.J. Watt has taken it in for 6 for the Steelers.
Kevin Harlan on Westwood 1, T.J. Watt doing what T.J. does. Not only does he end up with that fumble recovery for a touchdown? And it was pretty amazing moment for the Steelers there in Kansas City. But he also has a sack in this game. And for that reason, for giving Pittsburgh the lead, he is our Defensive Player of the Week, sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. The sack does not count toward his single season total, unfortunately, but now for the year, in 16 games, T.J. Watt has 23.5 sacks for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was definitely a highlight. I could have gone with Jermaine Pratt, by the way, out of the same AFC North division, the interception to seal the win for Cincinnati, their first playoff win in 31 years. So honorable mention to him. We just heard from him a few moments ago. That was the highlight for Pittsburgh. Honestly, it was. I'm pretty sure TJ had more yards on that fumble recovery and the score, the scoop and score, than the offense did the entire first quarter to that point. It was pretty abysmal for the Steelers with 7 consecutive punts. And you can almost see the Chiefs flip the switch. That's the part that's scary. I don't know why you have to poke the bear to get them to go turbo, but that's exactly what had to happen. Patrick Mahomes talked about it after the fact. They didn't like the way they were playing. By the time TJ Watt scoops that football and takes it in for 6, the Chiefs already have 2 turnovers. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? You did everything you did to put yourselves on top of the AFC West to climb out of that hole that you were in when you were turning the ball over nonstop. And this is how you're going to start in your playoff game at home? 2 turnovers and a defensive touchdown before the Chiefs finally clicked into that high gear.
I think we were all pissed off at ourselves. We felt like we weren't playing with enough energy. We felt like we weren't executing at a high enough level and not playing with enough urgency. And so I thought guys really motivated themselves. We all kind of talked. It wasn't like one person talking. It was everybody talking to each other. And we came with a different urgency starting in that second quarter and kind of carried it the rest of the game.
Shotgun snap, drifting back 5. Good time in the pocket. Now he rolls, he cocks his arm, throws downfield. It's caught at the 20 by Kelce down the near sideline. 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kelce down the near sideline, got the ball, and a 48-yard touchdown pass. The third of the first half for Patrick Mahomes.
Michael Burton is the fullback. Tackle over tackle to the right. The Chiefs are going to fake it. They roll to the right side. They throw a big man touchdown! Touchdown! Nick Allegretti with the touchdown reception, and it gives Patrick Mahomes an all-time National Football League record with postseason touchdowns in his first 5 seasons.
Steelers show a 4-man defensive front. Trying to build a wall. Now they're going to throw it long. The Chiefs want Tyreek Hill over the shoulder. Touchdown! Kansas City! And Mahomes is on fire. 5 consecutive touchdown drives.
By the time the dust settles, the Chiefs have scored on 6 straight possessions. 3 before half, 3 after half, and this is no contest. Mahomes, 5 touchdown passes, 1 pick, which was early in the game, 400 yards passing, 30 of 39 through the air, and it was amazing. Once they got going, like an avalanche.
Mahomes magic!
Not only does Travis Kelce have 5 catches for over 100 yards, he throws a touchdown pass. And guess who showed up at his post-game press conference?
It's your mom.
What's up, Mom? I'm glad you made it.
Now, yeah, I know. I actually made it at a disappointing Tampa game. This was an elation to see you get a touchdown in a playoff game. I mean, oh my gosh, how good did that feel? How good did that feel after all these years?
Oh man, to finally throw a touchdown. Like I used to tell my mom when I was like 5 years old, I was going to eventually throw a touchdown in the National Football League. I finally got it done. It only took me 9 years. That's a good question though, Mom.
All right, that's so something my mom would do, call up and surprise me on the spot. If you don't know about the saga of the mother of Jason and Travis Kelce on Sunday, pretty amazing. She started out in Tampa, and she watched Kelce and his Eagles lose to the Buccaneers. She goes to the airport. She gets on a plane. She goes to Kansas City then, And it's first quarter, I believe, first or second quarter, and she is just about, she's in a car. She takes a photo. She posts it on social. In fact, the NFL was posting her photos on their social media account. If you want to retweet from the NFL account, producer James on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, because they were detailing her journey throughout the day from Tampa to Kansas City. She gets there in time. Now, she didn't get there for the start of the game, but she gets there in time to see Travis throw a touchdown pass, and you hear their exchange where he had mentioned that this is something he wanted to do since he was a kid. So pretty cool. Mitch Holtis with the calls on Chiefs radio, and it turns into, as I say, a one-sided affair, a lopsided affair. Though it was a slow start for the Chiefs, it was not that much different than what we saw during the regular season when these two teams met also at Arrowhead. And Andy Reid says it's the experience of Mahomes that keeps him from running off the rails and panicking.
The thing that is so great about him is that he doesn't let things get to him. He just keeps firing when needed, keeps leading all the time, even when things aren't working well for him or for somebody else. He's got an innate ability to lead other guys, and they're willing to listen to him.
Just experiences of being able to come from behind and get wins, playing in the postseason games. We have young dudes that hadn't played yet, and so they got to get that experience this week. And then you have those vets that have been in here before, and you showed that today with how Tyreek and Trav stepped up in big ways to kind of get us sparked and get us rolling again. We showed that we can always be explosive. That's who we are. We're going to make big plays happen if we get the looks. And I think over this season, we've learned to be patient as well. And so to be able to do both of those things is what it's going to take in order for us to get where we want to get to.
Anytime a team gets up and by multiple touchdowns, it's tough as a defense just because the full playbook is open. They can run, they can pass. Becomes more difficult, and obviously that's why you don't want to get in that situation. Just not enough to get it done. Anytime you hold a high-powered offense like that to 0 points in the first quarter, we were pleased with how we were playing. We knew that we need to continue to play at that level, and we weren't able to do it.
T.J. Watt essentially talking about once the Chiefs hit that turbo gear, it's nearly impossible to slow down a freight train. But he had a great game and really caps what was a phenomenal season for one of the Watt brothers. The Steelers were the last team to make it into the playoffs, right on the heels of the Raiders, and both Las Vegas and Pittsburgh are now eliminated, though there was one wild card team that survived this weekend and won as a road team, one as a visitor. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up, we will get to Ben Roethlisberger, his final game in the black and gold, his emotions, as well as Mike Tomlin, Andy Reid, a little bit from one of his teammates, too, about the passing of the torch idea now that Roethlisberger is presumably retiring after 18 seasons in Pittsburgh. The finish to the Niners and Cowboys, maybe the most scrutinized 2 minutes of the entire playoffs. Now, we'll see what comes up next. But for now, this will be what you hear about ad nauseum all week long, as well as the fallout. The fallout has already begun. The questions about who should take the blame already ricocheting across the country with sports fans. San Francisco jumped out to a good lead in this game. It was really impressive to see the way that they controlled the ball. And we had talked about this. Control the line of scrimmage, run the ball, win the time of possession battle. They did it to perfection. They don't ask Jimmy Garoppolo to be Tom Brady or to be Josh Allen. They ask Jimmy Garoppolo to manage the game and not turn the ball over. And initially, along with the perfection of one Robbie Gould, this was a first half to remember for the San Francisco 49ers. The only blip would have been Nick Bosa, who took a nasty helmet hit late in the second quarter and then was declared out with a concussion. So that kind of sucked. But you could see the Dallas Cowboys really struggling to find any rhythm and consistency. And how often have we said that about the Cowboys offense? I know that they were among the best in the league statistically, racking up yards and points. But let's be honest, didn't they do that, pad those stats against the NFC East in many cases or against teams with losing records. What we saw from them this regular season was a roller coaster ride, and it continued on into this game against San Francisco. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo had a couple of moments in the second half that I know he would like back. Potentially, this game doesn't go down to the wire if these two things don't happen. He misses a wide open Brandon Ayuk for a touchdown late in the third quarter. I mean, Ayuk had no one around him. And then he gets picked off by Anthony Brown with about 9.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Another bad throw that sailed on him, and Brown was right there. It actually landed right in Brown's breadbasket. So the next snap, you could see the momentum shifting, and quickly the Cowboys get into the end zone. So they go from being down 23-7 to start the fourth quarter to being down 23-17, and they're within six once Dak Prescott has his 5-yard touchdown run and the roars inside AT&T Stadium. It's like the Cowboys fans woke up and they dared to hope almost for the first time since the game had kicked off. So this is where it gets all kinds of dramatic. I had one whole note card that's titled Late Game Drama in Dallas. So let's pick it up with Dallas getting the ball back just under 3 minutes to go. And you can see the power of this offense and the ability of this offense to pick up chunk yardage right away. Dak Prescott forced out of the pocket on the run. Boom, Dalton Schultz. Might have been his best throw of the entire game. 38 yards. But the next four snaps, what do we see? San Francisco putting pressure on Dak Prescott, even with just the front four rushing. They weren't necessarily blitzing. They weren't bringing extra guys all the time. No, they were staying home, and they were still dominating that line of scrimmage. And so Dak Prescott has a ball that he has to heave on fourth down to Cedric Wilson, and it is just off his fingertips. Wait, can we actually hear that call just because it was such a good call by by Greg Papa. This was a game of inches, right? And we saw it multiple times between Niners and Cowboys.
Dak Prescott takes the snap from center. Pressured. Here comes Jimmy Ward to the blitz. Dak will throw down the middle, and it is incomplete.
Oh.
Incomplete. The 49ers set a blitz. He threw it down the field to Cedric Wilson off his fingertips. The 49ers take over on downs.
I mean, I feel like that says it all, right? Oh, it was that close. Wilson got turned around. Had he not had to do a 180 and then a 180 back to try to track that ball in the air, he might have been under it to be able to haul it in. And so I'm thinking that's the end of the game, right? In fact, I'm pretty sure they said it on TV. Jim Nantz or Tony Romo indicating that was game. That was it. Except that San Francisco cannot run the clock out. Talk about bonehead moment for the Niners. They false start on fourth and inches when they're going for a quarterback sneak. Everyone in the entire building knows they're going for the QB sneak, and they false start. Jimmy Garoppolo goes before his O-line is ready, and they end up having to punt. 40 seconds left, and Dallas gets the ball back. I can feel it in my gut already, even as I'm talking about it. Three quick pass plays. And just like that, the Cowboys are in San Francisco territory because the Niners weren't working the sidelines. Dak was able to find his receivers. They would pick up 10 yards, 9, 10, 15 yards, out of bounds. So now we get to the point where there are 14 seconds to go. I'm thinking they have to take a shot at the end zone, right? At this point, they've got enough time to take a couple of looks. Dak is locked in. He's got his best receivers on the field. There's a chance this could happen.
Prescott takes the shotgun snap. He's going to run around left guard. Prescott slides inside the 25, but there's 8 seconds left and counting. They scurry up to the line of scrimmage, down to two, down to one. It's down to zeros. What will they say here? San Francisco onto the field with the coaching staff and the sideline players. They think it's over. And everyone looking in the direction of referee Alex Kemp.
Well, the umpire had a hard time getting that spotted because there's bodies going everywhere, and he got knocked around a little bit.
That's the end of the game.
Oh, my gosh. I've never seen an ending like that before. I've seen teams run out of time. I've never seen a team run out of time like that. So Dak Prescott scrambles. no one has a problem with the play call, actually. Mike McCarthy, Dak Prescott, I didn't hear from Kellen Moore, but presumably he was the one who called it or at least had the option for Dak. He runs because the middle of the field's wide open. The Niners decide then that they'll guard against the sidelines and they'll make sure that the Cowboys can't get out of bounds so easily as they had done on three previous plays. So they leave the middle of the field wide open. It's perfect. Dak Prescott really doesn't even have any resistance. Just goes straight up the field. Slides. 8 seconds to go. Problem is, the Cowboys missed a step. The umpire has to touch the football. And so here's how it went. They rush to the line, which they should have done. Dak hands the ball to the center instead of the umpire. Center puts the ball down on the field. Now, normally that would be okay, but the umpire still has to come up and touch the football. An official has to make contact with the ball. Every quarterback knows it. Every center knows it. So as the umpire is hustling up from behind the play, he tries to force his way through the Cowboys' offensive line. But the big bodies are stacked up because they know they're going to spike the ball. He trips over somebody's foot. He falls through the line, which wastes time. Then he picks up the ball and moves the spot backward. They were in the wrong place. He moved it backward to line it up with the chains. By the time they spiked it, those 8 seconds had run off the clock. What a way to finish. So we're up against a break here. We have run out of time on the clock, but we'll let you hear the reaction from Dak Prescott, from Jerry Jones. What about Mike McCarthy's job status? So dramatic. Always, always in Dallas and always with the NFL, the best reality show on TV. Good morning to you. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's a Monday. It's a manic Monday. There's all kinds of mania. What's the wildest thing you saw Wild Card Weekend?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
On Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, too, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Prescott takes the shotgun snap. He's going to run around left guard. Prescott slides inside the 25, but there's 8 seconds left and counting. They scurry up to the line of scrimmage, down to two, down to one. It's down to zeros. What will they say here? San Francisco onto the field with the coaching staff and the sideline players. They think it's over. And everyone looking in the direction of referee Alex Kemp.
Well, the umpire had a hard time getting that spotted because there's bodies going everywhere and he got knocked around a little bit.
That's the end of the game.
As I ran, went down, I think their guy actually did a great job of jumping on me. Kind of late, I guess you say there, but that's what they're taught, right? Laying on me, I think that may have cost us an extra 2 seconds or so, but once I got up, as I said, as I'm getting behind Tyler to clock the ball, I saw 4 seconds, and then as I got hit, as I said, I tried to gather myself back and still thought I had time to get it down. Practice it, you hand it to the center. The umpire, all he has to do is usually come in and tap the ball. But yeah, I mean, don't necessarily know exactly why the hit happened, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I know he's going to come in and touch the ball. We can say, yeah, he needs to be closer to the ball or whatever, but in hindsight, I mean, it's just tough. These guys have a job, and they've got a responsibility and obligation, just as we do, to do their job to the best that they can. And yeah, I don't know. It's obviously tough, those two games. And just as I said before, though, we can do a better job of just keeping those guys out of it, being more disciplined, more sound.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
All right, Dak Prescott. The reason why the umpire tripped and fell on you is because he couldn't get through the offensive line. And the reason why he picked up the ball, not just tapped the ball, is because it was in the wrong spot. So it was the perfect storm, and it went against the Cowboys. But ultimately, you cannot blame the officials for this loss. You can't even blame the loss on that final play. Are you kidding me? You had 40 seconds left. It was a miracle that you were even in San Francisco territory. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The call with Spiro Dedis on Westwood One. The final 14 seconds in which Dak Prescott scrambled straight up the middle and then in the fray of trying to get the ball snapped to spike it, the clock runs out. The NFL, they're going to back their officials, but the feedback in the wake of this moment, this is what's supposed to happen. Tony Romo nailed it immediately. You cannot spike the ball without the official touching it. And so it was one of those moments that is bizarro, like totally bizarro. I've never seen it in the end of a game like that. You've seen the clock run out, but not because the official can't get through the line to touch the football. And the Cowboys, over and over again, had opportunities and did not take advantage. The late interception by Dak Prescott, that led to a touchdown by the Niners. They were unable to establish the run. And my goodness, how many times did they have these head-scratching mistakes? The fake punt that went for a first down, immediately followed by a delay of game flag. The pre-snap penalties, the holding calls on both sides of the ball. It was brutal. 14 penalty flags for 85 yards. That's not on the refs. That's on the Cowboys. And the lack of discipline was highlighted throughout the game. What did Jerry Jones have to say about the one-and-done playoff exit?
They deserved us to win this game tonight, and they deserved us to go farther, so it was quite a letdown. Quite a letdown. We've got good players in there, really good players. And San Francisco played well, but even at that, they did play well. They outplayed us, but at the end, we still left ourselves a chance, and very disappointing that we couldn't get it done.
So Jerry Jones calls it a letdown. Initially, talks about how the fans deserve better, except I don't know about that. The fans were throwing bottles and cans and debris at not only their own players, but the officials as they were walking off the field. I don't know that they deserve better, at least not those ones in the corner. That's despicable. I do not understand why people insist on doing that. You could be hurting your own people. It's against the law if they can figure out who you are, or if they choose to go back to video and figure out who you are. But also, you could be hurting your own people. As mad as you might be in that moment, stupid and disgusting. Ezekiel Elliott echoes the sentiments of Jerry Jones in that this was a really good Cowboys roster.
It is disappointing. This is the best team I've been on. And, we just got to, it is disappointing. It hurt. It hurts all of us hurting, but we just got to rally around each other and, start thinking about next year.
Self-inflicting errors. I mean, we're obviously some of the penalties, pre-snap penalties, things were just, we stopped ourselves. We were getting behind the chains, making it tough. This is playoff football, and when you're hurting yourself and getting behind the chains, it's tough. We've got to be better. I've got to be better.
There's a lot of that to go around, and I've already heard calls to fire Mike McCarthy, fire Kellen Moore, fire Mike McCarthy to promote Kellen Moore, take away the general manager duties from Jerry Jones, which is ridiculous. The roster he and his front office put together, it's a winning roster. On paper, this Cowboys team should have done a lot better this season, but we know that's not how football games are won and lost. I've also heard calls to cut or trade Dak Prescott. That's not happening either. But what did Jerry Jones say about Mike McCarthy's future? Because those questions immediately followed his response or his reaction to this being a letdown.
I don't even want to discuss anything like that at this particular time. No discussion.
I don't have any concerns. I'm proud to be standing here today. Proud of my football team.
Mike McCarthy, I don't have any concerns. I'm proud to be standing here today. I'm proud of my football team. But if Jerry Jones decides that this was inexcusable, is there a chance he could make a change? Or try this one on for size. Kellen Moore is going to get interviews for multiple head coaching jobs around the NFL. Jerry Jones loves Kellen Moore. Essentially considers Kellen Moore to be a product of the Dallas Cowboys, right? If he doesn't want to lose him, does he give him the head coaching job? He may not be ready, but I guess you'll never know until you promote him. He's in his 30s, right? I mean, there are a lot of young offensive coordinators who've taken over as head coaches. But if the only way to keep him is to make him the head coach, would you then serve up Mike McCarthy as the scapegoat, as the fall guy? There's plenty of blame to go around. Or do you make him the head coach in waiting? I don't know how that would work, but we've kind of seen that idea with New England. Maybe. There's this idea that when Bill Belichick retires, which he's not, he's going to be 70 in April, but he's not retiring, that Josh McDaniels will take over as the head coach there. He's been waiting a long freaking time. It was like Jimmy Garoppolo waiting for Tom Brady to retire. Anyway, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I wouldn't be surprised either way. This is such a bitter disappointment. I would not be surprised if they move on from Mike McCarthy. I think it's knee-jerk, but that's just me. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, the wildest thing you saw wild card weekend. And coming up, I promised you this, Ben Roethlisberger in his final game, his final words, and his final emotions. And then what about the Raiders' job? The locker room is stumping for Rich Bisaccia. I mean, there's so much more we could get to. I could do 2 more hours, but I won't because, well, they'll have to kick me out of here.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Steelers with a double slot to Ben's wide side, left is back. Throws it for the end zone, and the pass is caught in the end zone by James Washington, who took it away from nickelback Mike Hughes for the touchdown. Ben, 15 yards to James, and the Steelers on the board again. First and 10 at the 14, 11 seconds. Ben with a shotgun snap, pumps. Check down over the middle, it's pulled in by the tight end Gentry, and he gets hammered, but he gets a first down inside to 4-3, and the clock hits zeros, and the Steelers season is over, and with it, the career of the great Ben Roethlisberger. It didn't end the way that the Steelers wanted it and the way Roethlisberger wanted it, but it does come to an end. And the winner stays, the loser goes home.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's a good thing he had the pomp and circumstance in the final game at Heinz Field. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We have a lot to get to, and I've promised our caller that we're going to get to him before the top. So, Ben Roethlisberger, the emotions, well, of course, they're swirling. But when you think about body of work, there's a lot that we could process. There is a Hall of Fame career spanning 18 seasons, near the top of the charts in almost every passing category, and ultimately, never a losing season with Roethlisberger as the starter in Pittsburgh.
I'm really proud of the way guys fought. We had guys, whether it's linemen or backs or receivers, tight ends, I mean, guys stepped up and literally fought to the end. Tonight, you know, guys just never quit and literally to the last second, even when it's, you know, it's out of grasp. Guys don't quit, and we're line changing receivers, and we're just fighting, and linemen are fighting their butts off. And so I'm just so proud to call these guys brothers and to play for them.
Man, he was 7. It's been an honor and a pleasure, man. I don't have the words.
We joke a lot, you know, about the Browns and going there, but it was meant to be that I was going to wear black and gold. Draft day, I had a black suit on with a gold tie. I mean, I'm just so thankful. I hope that I'm able to pass the legacy of what it is to be a Steeler from Dan Rooney, you know. And so we all miss him. Anyone that knew him misses him. And so it's just hopefully I could pass some of that on to some of the guys and it can continue the tradition of what it means to be a Steeler and get passed down.
Appreciate that, man. The way he's battled, the way he is always giving us a chance. And when you talk about having toughness as a quarterback, and you talk about a guy that's just going to give you everything he's got, can't ask for any more from that man right there. I don't know about passing any torches or anything. This one stings.
Cam Hayward wishing they could send Ben Roethlisberger out a different way. I'm sure we'll hear a lot more. Eventually, he will have his official retirement press conference, and we'll get all of those emotions again. Mike Tomlin at a loss for words. That very rarely happens. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. By the way, did you hear Tomlin's pregame conversation with Michelle Tafoya on NBC? He suggested one way to not miss anything on the football field. Do we have this, Producer
Don't
James?
Blink. If you're a blinker, cut your eyelids off. You know, this is not going to be for the faint of heart. We understand what type of game we're in. It's going to take a ridiculous effort and 60 minutes of it, and we're excited about it.
Well, it didn't, actually, and I'm not going to cut my eyelids off ever. I'll do a lot for football, but not that. All right, really quickly, Derek Carr and the rest of the Raiders in their locker room are campaigning for Rich Bisaccia to keep his job or to remove the interim tag in Vegas.
I think we can all think that he's the right guy. Not just one player, not just one side, but everybody, you know. He's proven people listen to him, and not just people, but our team listens to him. And I love him so much. I'm thankful for him. All of those things will be decisions that I don't get to make. You know, I just play quarterback.
I'm just thinking about those guys in that locker room that played a game and put their heart and soul out there like that and had a chance to win at the end, and we did. So those guys in there did a great job of, to some degree, changing the culture or putting the culture on a winning track, a winning mentality, a respectable path, I'd like to think, and they're responsible for it. The way in which they came to work, like I said, the way in which they improved, and the way in which they competed.
I don't have confidence that the Raiders will keep him, even though it feels like the right thing to do. Not after what happened in Houston, where David Culley got bounced after the 1 year. I'm a little cynical about the NFL and its head coaches right now. Don't know what happens in Dallas. We should find out if there are more openings in the next few days. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. By the way, according to multiple sources, status quo in Seattle into 2022. Pete Carroll, John Schneider going to keep their jobs, and right now they say they are not trading Russell Wilson. Dan has been hanging on for a while. He's listening in Central California. Dan, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy, how do you enjoy your vacation?
No, we don't have time to talk about vacation. You got to talk about football. We only have 3 minutes before the top of the hour. Let's go.
Can I take 3 minutes? Because I have 3 minutes.
Well, then go.
Okay. First of all, shout out to Josh Allen. I think as much of him as you do, and he grew up about 70 miles south of where I live in Turlock. So he's a Valley boy, just like the Raiders quarterback, both from the San Joaquin Valley and Central California. I think Dallas should fire their coach. I think he's got so much talent there, and he didn't motivate him. And Rodgers kind of kicked him off at Green Bay, right? He didn't like the coach McCarthy there, so he got him out the door. I think the game, I heard on the radio, I just saw the last quarter because I was driving back in from the Bay Area. But I think both teams are trying to lose that game. I mean, the Niners was 23-7. And then their quarterback throws a pick. Mm-hmm. Could have been a pick six, maybe, but it was just a pick. And I was thinking, if you think of Rodgers, Tom Brady, if you think of Mahomes and Josh Allen, The Niners may have to face three of the four of those guys to win the championship, you know. And I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo measures up in any extent to any of those quarterbacks. So,
well, I don't know, actually.
As a 49ers fan, I think that's a problem right there.
Well, Dan, he also doesn't measure up in terms of raw talent and skills to Dak Prescott. If we're talking quarterback competition, Dak Prescott's got him in pretty much every category. That's not what football is all about. That's not who the Niners are. And you should know as a Niners fan, what they ultimately want to do is run the ball, control the line of scrimmage, and keep the ball away from their opponent, which they do well. That's what they did in Dallas. They dominated time of possession early on, and it wasn't until Garoppolo made a couple of mistakes that there was any life for the Dallas offense. So they're not counting on Garoppolo to win games, but you have to admit he was great for the first 2.5 quarters.
Yeah, I do, and that's the trouble with him all the time. They've hung on to him this far. They got Trey Lance because they don't think he's a long-term solution. He's great for 2/3 of the time, and then he really blows it 1/3 of the time.
And yet they're still alive.
An NFL champion.
They're still alive. They've won 8 of their last 10. And with Jimmy Garoppolo as their starter, Kyle Shanahan is, what, 34-15 with Jimmy Garoppolo as his starter? He's got a losing record with anybody else starting.
Yeah, I was going to mention that about Cal, too. So many.
All right, you got 30 seconds. 30 seconds.
Okay, so many coaches in the NFL really mismanaged the clock, and I thought he really perfectly used the clock at the end of the game. You know, they sent Trent Williams out to the end of the line, and he didn't get set for – it's going to be set for 2 seconds, right? Mm-hmm. So they got that penalty. Otherwise, they probably would have just got the first down and game over.
Well, so, I mean, we could go back and second guess about 100 different moments from that game. I'm going to give you 10 seconds to wrap up because I'm not joking. That's all we got left.
I think Derek Carr may end up as the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback.
Ooh, interesting. I haven't heard that one.
The Raiders. I've heard they wanted him.
All right,
I think
Dan.
It would really help them a lot.
We'll see what happens. That's coming up in the months ahead, but we still got football. So Niners are still alive, Dan. We'll talk to you again. Thanks so much for your phone call in Central California and for hanging on. We'll see what happens in Dallas. There are all kinds of theories about who should take the blame and how Jerry Jones should deal with the fallout. I'm not even sure what's going to happen. I have an opinion, but I have no idea how this is going to play out. We'll take more of your calls on Monday night. Remember, we've got one more game. Rams hosting the Cardinals, the final wild card piece. And then we can do more of this, breaking it all down. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.